You're listening to Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian Grand Prix. In this week's episode, we review all of the news and action from Aragon. Daryl Beattie joins us as we continue the build-up to Phillip Island, and we assess Jack Miller's big Moto3 move for 2014. There's all that and more on Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian Grand Prix.
You're listening to episode 27 of Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian Grand Prix. Matt Clayton with you for this week's show, and we're just a few weeks away from the TISO Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix at Phillip Island from October 18 to 20. On this week's show, we'll chat to three-time Grand Prix winner and Network 10 analyst Daryl Beattie and assess Jack Miller's big Moto3 move for 2014. But first, we had the 14th round of this year's World Championship at Aragon last weekend, and to discuss that, I'm joined in the studio by a bloke who's been clocking up plenty of frequent flyer miles lately, Mark Vettore. G'day, Mark.
G'day, Matt.
Should say g'day, really. We probably should put some accents on, given it's the all-Australian episode, shouldn't we?
Indeed.
No, accents are a thing of the past on this podcast. Let's move on to Aragon and the sixth win of the season for Marc Márquez. His first win in Spain, funnily enough. But the real talking point, Marc Márquez's teammate Dani Pedrosa, accident on lap six, big high side after he'd clashed with his teammate. Is that the end of his championship, you think?
I think that's pretty much it for Pedrosa this year. I think the only man capable now is Lorenzo, but as you know, he's nearly 40 points behind now with a maximum of 100 up for grabs in the final four races. Three of them flyaway rounds, so I think that's Pedrosa's season done and dusted, and only Mr. Lorenzo can stand a chance of catching Márquez.
And a strange way to go for Dani Pedrosa as well. A bit of contact, light contact as it turned out, with Marc Márquez on turn 12 on lap 6. Dislodged a wheel sensor, so no traction control for Dani. He comes out of the corner, opens the throttle, and he's sending himself into space after that. Very strange accident.
It was indeed. Actually reminds of the old days on the 500cc two strokes where they high sides like that were fairly common. Not so much these days with traction control, but obviously, Dani only lasted a few seconds without his sensor, and that was it. And it's just about the very, very seminal moment in the championship. I think that's, as I said, that's him done for the year, and we'll see what happens in the final four rounds.
What was interesting about that, of course, is that the teammates were scrapping over second place at that point. Jorge Lorenzo had made another one of his unbelievable jackrabbit starts
sure
and disappeared on the first lap, as he tends to. But this was a different race to Misano. You could see after the first lap that Márquez was very aggressive getting back past his teammate, and they were really catching Lorenzo when Pedrosa had the accident. In the end, Márquez passed Jorge Lorenzo with 10 laps to go and really wasn't troubled after that, won by 1.3 seconds and extended that championship lead to 39 points. Now, we'll talk to Daryl Beattie a bit about this in a minute, but is the championship over?
I think it is. I think Márquez, even if he decides to ride at 90% in the last three or four rounds, it's certainly going to be enough. 90% might bring him back to third place, but that's all he needs. Even if Lorenzo clean sweeps the final four races, I think it's Márquez's championship. And if he loses, it'll be a big shock.
Yeah, you would think so. And look, rounding out the podium, Valentino Rossi wasn't fourth. That was the good news. I think he was probably a bit sick of that. He'd been fourth in the previous four races. Finished third after a pretty spirited fight towards the end. Alvaro Bautista, Stefan Bradl joined in the last couple of laps. But again, we've said this before, seems to be Rossi's lot in that he's clearly best of the rest, but he's not really able to hang with those three guys at the front, is he?
No, that's pretty much the theme of the season, really. I think that's going to be his lot from now on. I think Bautista, Bradl, these are the type of guys you're going to be battling with, and he'll make the odd rare appearance up the top, but he can't certainly hold on for the whole 20-25 lap of a Grand Prix these days. He just doesn't seem to have that tiger and that venom just to really keep pace with the three Spaniards.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shame, I must say, for Sunday. Saturday night had set it up so beautifully for us here in that Rossi was fourth on the grid, but just 0.15 behind pole. Incredibly good fight for pole. And you thought, well, maybe, you know, Rossi's unlocked a bit of pace around here. And we know that bike is particularly good in the long corners. So he probably thought he'd have a bit more of an impact in the race. In the end, he was 13 seconds off Márquez for the win. So, again, just dropping back.
Exactly, man. It's a big gap, 13 seconds, man. He's improved a little bit next year, and latter part of this season, he's a big gap, 13 seconds to 15 seconds. It's still a pretty mighty gap to try and bridge to the top guys, and they'll go faster again too as the season progresses and on to next year. So I think Rossi's always going to be trying to play catch up from now on, unfortunately, but that's mean, he's had his 7 world titles, not too bad. I think he'll take that.
He's had a fair run, shall we say. But let's just recap these world championship standings. Just 4 rounds to go now, of course. Australia coming after Malaysia in a couple of weeks' time. MotoGP, Marc Marquez, 278 points. He's now 39 points ahead of Jorge Lorenzo in second. Danny Pedrosa, after that DNF, he's 59 points behind. Of the Australians, Brian Staring in 25th place with 2 points. He was 18th at Aragon. Damien Cudlin, a DNF, unfortunately, in his first race for the Paul Bird Motorsport team, had a gearbox issue early in the race. Looking to Moto2, Scott Redding, 215 points, leads that championship by 20 from Paul Espargaro. At Aragon, it was Nico Tirole and then everyone else way, way behind. Tirole on pole position, cleared off to win his second race of the season. Terrific fight between Espargaro and Redding. Redding started 13th on the grid, so for him to get through to 4th was a pretty good save there. Ant West, 39 points. He's 16th overall in the championship. Unfortunately, crashed from 15th place with 7 laps to go. And in Moto3, this is really tightening up now. Louis Salom, 259 points. Alex Rins, who won at Aragon, his second win in a row. He's just 9 points behind now. Maverick Vinales, 12 points behind. So the smaller category is going to be fantastic at Phillip Island in a couple of weeks. Of the two Aussies, pretty low-key weekend for Jack Miller. He was 13th at Aragon. It's his worst result since the season opener in Qatar. He's 7th overall in the championship, 79 points. Good weekend for Arthur Sissis. He finished 9th at Aragon. It's his best result since Indianapolis. He's 11th overall in the standings on 59 points. So the next race at Sepang in Malaysia in 2 weeks' time. And then, of course, it's the Australian Grand Prix at Phillip Island.
With 2 weeks to go until the 2013 Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix and the World Championship well and truly alive, now is your chance to secure your place at Victoria's largest regional event. Whether you're working on a shoestring budget or have cash to burn, there's a ticket option for you. Visit MotoGP.com.au to book now. Don't forget to like us on Facebook at Australian MotoGP. GP events. This is Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian GP.
After Aragon last weekend, we have just 4 races remaining in this year's World Championship, and 4 races before Marc Marquez could do something very special in his maiden MotoGP campaign. To discuss that and plenty more, we're joined on the line by 3-time Grand Prix winner and Network 10 analyst Daryl Beattie. G'day, Daryl.
Hey, boys.
Daz, 4 races to go, and after what happened at Aragon, we've got Marc Marquez with a 39-point championship lead. Can he be stopped from here, do you think?
Oh, he can definitely be stopped. I think the only person that's going to stop him is himself, and that's purely through having an accident or which obviously would lead to, you know, him having an injury. But as far as being outpaced on the circuit this year, then maybe a round or two where Lorenzo gets some revenge back. But generally the guy's too quick.
Where do you see his rookie season? We've seen Pedrosa come in, be quick from the start. Casey obviously was pretty good straight away. Lorenzo as well. But there's nearly nothing to compare this to with what Marquez has done from day one. What is it that's different about this kid compared to those other guys?
I don't know, you know, and it's not to say the others aren't special, but I think when you look back, you know, even though I'm a big believer and if you're good enough, you're going to win on a satellite bike as well because the difference is so minimal, but, you know, Casey didn't start in a factory ride like that, and a lot of guys didn't. Rossi did. But I don't know, you know, it's just, it's all gone well for him. You look at the accidents that he's had through the year, he hasn't been hurt. You know, a lot of luck's gone with it as well. But, you know, the kid's very special. And, you know, I always say this, I think no matter what sport it is, whether it's motorsport or track and field, it's, you know, there might be a grid of 20 or 30 guys or whatever it is, motorcycles, but really at the end of the day, there's one, maybe two that's special. The rest are great, but there's always that special one. And we're fortunate enough to see him develop at the moment. And that's another one we're going to see. Valentino Rossi was pretty special. I think Casey was damn exceptional, but he just wasn't there long enough for us to see where it was going to take him. But the kid's very, very good. Super special.
Daryl, let's talk about the reigning world champion, Jorge Lorenzo. He's obviously had his injury concerns this year. How do you see his season considering the injuries and the Yamaha doesn't seem to be quite at the level of the factory Honda.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think, you know, over a lap, there's probably not a whole lot in them. Marquez is making that difference. But, you know, Yamaha definitely upped the ante in the last couple of rounds with their seamless shift and a few changes through the break. But obviously fuel economy is a big question mark with them. It didn't hurt them too much last night. Be interested to see what it's like when they get the Motegi, which is another sort of fuel consumption circuit that could potentially hurt them more, and a circuit that's owned by Honda. But, you know, I think Lorenzo's had a fantastic season. You know, I don't think he's done a thing wrong, really. And, you know, he just keeps plugging away. But unfortunately, he's up against Marquez at the moment, who's on a serious roll. And as I said, he's super special. And I don't know what Lorenzo's got to do to beat him. I think Yamaha's just got to make a better bike. And as I said, it's all, you know, electronics is such a massive part of it now. And the regulations change again for next year. Yamaha going to be able to make that leap on Honda? Will Honda have the advantage? Who knows? But at this stage, you know, Marquez and Honda, two, you know, big company and a special rider on one bike, it's going to be a tough thing to beat. But as we all know, with two wheels, it only takes a fall and an injury and you're out of the championship.
Talking about Yamaha before, Valentino Rossi, it was great to see him win a race again after such a long drought this year. But in your mind, Daz, do you think he's really the best long-term option to take it up to a Honda with two younger guys and guys that are probably approaching or at the peak of their form? Because he's a pretty nailed-on fourth place at the moment when all the other three guys are up and about. Do you think he's really the best long-term option for them now?
No, not at all. You know, I said at the beginning of the year, it was probably a big call to make at the start of the season, but, you know, Valentino Rossi won't win another championship, and I don't mean that in a nasty way either. You know, there's more positive things about Valentino Rossi than negative, and that's not a negative thing. And I think even finishing fourth at the moment is still pretty special. There's nothing wrong with that, and there's no reason why he should retire. But, you know, if you're looking at guys that are going to have to start beating Lorenzo and Marquez, Valentino Rossi, as I said, may win a few races, but he won't win another championship. I think he's got an enormous amount of experience, very valuable to have on your team as long as he still wants to be there and he's 100% committed, which he is. But, you know, these kids at the moment are just that bit above him, and that bit's that 2 or 3 tenths, which is pretty consistent through practice. Sometimes it's half a second. You know, you look at Rossi's race at Aragon towards the end, his last lap, even though Marquez wasn't pressured, but his last lap was on par with all of the top two guys. The pace is there at times, but it just lacks that commitment, I guess, when you're younger and just ballsier and on top of your game and hungry, where, you know, they can open up that 2 or 3 tenths a lap in the early stages on a new tyre, and he got pulled in a battle and loses it, and that just seems to be happening every round, that just that fine edge has gone off, and I don't know if you can find that again, but he's working terribly hard at trying to find it.
Darryl, we've spoken about Rossi and the three Spaniards, but who else has impressed you this year? Bautista, Bradle, Espargaro, Crutchlow. Who's been the guy that's really been next cab off the rank?
The other ones are really difficult for me. You know, they're those good, great riders, but none of them have really jumped out. Like, yeah, we're going to be the next bunch that are going to threaten Marquez. Espargaro, I think, has done a pretty good job on his machine, but that Aprilia is pretty good for what it is too. It's a little more than CRT at times. But, you know, Stefan, the way I compare it is, you look at these guys, they all raced against Marquez and Moto2. Stefan took a championship battle to him that was pretty close, but he's not matching him in the premier class on the weekend. He looked good at times. You know, you look at Bradley Smith, you know, I wouldn't think he's doing a reasonable job, but nothing that would have you jumping up and down, getting too excited about as a team owner. Bautista, you know, I think he's just too hot and cold. He's been there a long time, so he'd be the first one that I'd take off my list. You know, it's a difficult call. I think all those guys are reasonable, but they're not special like Marquez or like Lorenzo or Danny. I guess you got to feel for Danny after what happened last night. Yes. Danny's good. He's probably in Valentino's position at the moment. At times he'll fire and he'll ride away into the distance, but it doesn't seem to happen for 19 or 20 races.
And of course, Daz, after the race at Aragon, there was a little bit of tension between the two Repsol Honda teammates. Danny Pedrosa very critical of Marc Marquez after that, saying that it's obvious that it doesn't matter what I say now, it's over. A lot of experienced riders like myself have been trying to calm down others with less experience, but in this case, as usual, they have looked the other way. So definitely some tension there in that Repsol Honda garage, and interesting that Race Direction are going to have a chat with both Danny Pedrosa and Marc Marquez at Sepang in a week's time. So be very interesting to see what comes out of that. Darrell, stay with us, because after this break, I want to come back and talk to you about Casey Stoner and another young Aussie that's doing good things in Jack Miller.
Thinking about camping at this year's Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix? The two well-equipped campgrounds at the Phillip Island Grand Prix Circuit are able to accommodate everything from simple two-person tents to deluxe motorhomes, and feature easy access to the track, a general store and bottle shop, live entertainment on Friday, Saturday and Sunday nights, and the all-important hot showers. It's the full MotoGP experience. Visit MotoGP.com.au to book now. This is Keeping Track, the official podcast of the Australian GP.
Thanks for staying with us on Keeping Track. We still have Darrell Beattie on the line. Daz, I did want to ask you about Casey Stoner. Of course, we're coming up to the Australian Motorcycle Grand Prix in Phillip Island, where he's really made that circuit his own personal playground over the last 6 years. Two-part question. Do you think the sport misses him, and do you reckon that we'll actually ever see him back on the grid?
I think the sport misses him in Australia. I don't think the sport misses him in Europe, because it's so big in Europe. But we certainly miss him here as far as TV ratings go and for our popularity here. I guess the difficult thing with Casey is that, you know, I would love to see him racing, because I think he is one guy that, when he was on top of his game before he finished, could have probably had some pretty good battles with Marquez. They're both very similar in a way. Two different personalities, which would have been a bit of a clash, but great for television. But yeah, it's sad he's not there. But I think when you look at it as a whole and the championship on a whole, racing-wise and television, yeah, it'd be good to see him there. But as an organisation, and the show in Europe, no, I don't think they're missing at all.
Darrell, Jack Miller, next year he signed for the all-conquering KTM outfit in Moto3. Is this the break his career needs, and is he a champion in the making? He seems to have all the ingredients there for that, but do you think next year we'll really see him firing?
I really hope so, and I, the thing that worries me, and I've discussed this a fair bit with Rusty off-air, or even in commercial breaks at work when the Grand Prix are on, is that, you know, KTM have won the Constructors' Championship the last 2 years in Moto3. And the only thing that makes me nervous about Jack making the jump from the Honda to the KTM next year, which I am really excited about, but we all know that Honda as a company, or even Yamaha, but Honda at this moment, because he's on a Honda, don't tend to lay down for too long and get beaten for too long before they bounce back with something that's pretty good. Even though Moto3 has pretty strict regulations on it, I just hope that he doesn't make the jump, or what he's done, making the jump to KTM next year, and all of a sudden next year the Honda machine's a cracker. I think that would be devastating for him, and it'd be devastating for us as viewers in Australia. But I think he's got great ability. You know, I spent a lot of time in the races looking at his splits over a lap, and you can certainly see where he loses out in speed with the machine he's on down the straight. But generally, in all the tight stuff, he's every bit as good, or if not better. So I think we're going to see great things from Jack Miller if that KTM continues to be competitive next year.
Now, before we let you go, Daz, the Island coming up in 3 weeks' time, we saw some of the world's top riders really express their admiration for the circuit earlier this month. For someone that may not have been down there, they're someone that's watched MotoGP on TV. What is it about the place, from your perspective, that makes it such a special racetrack?
I think it's because it's an island to start with. You know, a lot of people that haven't been there or arrived there feel like they're away from everything. Some feel like they can carry on a little bit more than normal. But, you know, the early days of Phillip Island, I think, are probably some of my fondest memories from 89 on, and the way the street and the vibe and the community got together, it was absolutely brilliant. Obviously, that was tapered off and it's been changed over the years, but the campground is just, you know, second to none. The stuff that goes on in the campground and the big screens and the stuff they have for them, and that vibe's great. Even cows are still pretty good these days. But and the racetrack itself, you know, you can, you, there's not too much of it you miss. You can find a spot around there where you can see a majority of it. You miss a little bit. And as I said on air last night, it's terribly hard on the left-hand side of the tyre there. But the great thing about it is it's one of the highest average speeds of the season. And generally, even if you're down a little bit, you can get in and latch on with a group. And we've seen some great battles there and some great championships won there. And there's a good chance we could see Marquez wrap up his first world title in MotoGP there as well, with the lead he's got. If he has another win in Malaysia and then a win in Australia, he'll wrap up the title, even if Lorenzo finished second in both those races. So it's a good reason to get down there.
Well, look, very much looking forward to get down there and see the circuit, and also to see you guys down there doing your broadcast thing for Ten. Daryl, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll catch you on a future episode sometime down the track.
Thanks, guys.
Upgrade your MotoGP weekend to The Garage. New for 2013 and modelled on the successful Doohan Pavilion, The Garage is an undercover hub to refuel, rest and catch up with mates while enjoying excellent views of the Turn 1 action. Featuring a cash bar and giant screen, The Garage is an affordable way for you to upgrade your MotoGP weekend. Book now at MotoGP.com.au. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at AusMotoGP.
That's all we have time for on this episode of Keeping Track. Don't forget to like Australian MotoGP event on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at AusMotoGP, and go to MotoGP.com.au, where you'll find a link to a complete archive of all of our shows. Thanks to our guest Daryl Beatty, and also to Kirsty Wilson and Laura Cameron at Network 10 for their help. For co-host Mark Vittore and producer slash audio surgeon Peter Mercato, I'm Matt Clayton. Thanks for listening, and join us in 2 weeks for our special event week show of Keeping Track.